Train up a child means, as a parent, I'm supposed to be the greatest influencer in the life of my child. We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. Glad you're tuned in. I'm your host, Ruthie J. This whole week, we've been talking about who is influencing your child. There's a lot of sources coming from the outside, from the inside, what's going on in their head already, who has constant access to them, creating an electronic moat. And we're finishing off the week today talking about how do I, the parent, be really, truly the greatest influencer in their life.
I think it starts with a desire. I've got to decide I want to do that, and because it's going to take time. It's going to take thinking. We are reacting, managing parents. We react to problems and we manage their schedule. We know we got to get them here. We got to get them there. This one up, that one over. We've got to get something on the table or through the drive-thru or whatever it is. And so we're managing their schedules and we're reacting to the problems. We're not developing their thinking. We're not developing their mind, and they're getting their thinking from the media. New research from the University of North Carolina shows that teenagers who are exposed to more sex talk and acts in the media are more likely to engage in those same sexual behaviors because they're not getting their sexual information from home. Mm. That's like a no-brainer. You know, you want to sit there and you read that and go, duh, somebody did that as their research project. Of course that's true. Mm. However, I think that as parents, we don't want to believe that. No, but what can you do? And if I know my children are going to get some of that information no matter what I do, if I move to Mongolia and give them one piece of technology that they ever have access or a television show or whatever it is, they're going to get it so that I know I've got to jump in. I can't be defensive. I've got to be offensive, and I've got to decide, okay, where is a place for us to have our family time, our family group therapy?
Mm. And, you know, a lot of parents are worried. You ask them, what do you want for your kids? I want them healthy and happy. But you have to make a decision. Hold on. You know what? There's a little bit more to happiness and just health, even though that's important. But really, who is this child going to become? And like you said, you are the biggest influencer in the child's life. And no matter what they receive from the outside, you really do have an amazing opportunity with this child to filter some of the messages and to guide them and train them up in the way they should go, like the Bible says.
Oh, yeah. I spoke at a parenting conference in Birmingham about 3 weeks ago, and it was very interesting just asking the question, and you could only kind of hear the front row, but what do you think is the most number one thing a parent's supposed to do? And the vast majority, in one way or another, say, I want my child to be successful. And no one can define what successful is. Yeah. I want them to be successful, so is it successful? If we looked at your child's calendar that you have imposed, the template on your child's life, how do we define success? Success at soccer? Success at academics? What did you do this summer? What camps did you send them to and pay for? I think our calling as parents is I have to help them be successful at pursuing, finding, and having the discipline to stay with the assignment God's given to them. Moses, I really believe, was called and culled out to be the guy who was going to rescue Israel. And then he went and did it his way. And when he went and did it his way one day and killed an Egyptian and hit him in the sand and came out the next day, and I firmly believe he went to a designer clothing store and bought a great suit to come out the next day because he expected, I think, the Israelites to be rallied around him. And when they looked at him and said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Mm. And this is after he had had an incredible military victory leading the Egyptians against another nation.
Yeah.
And so he was set and primed at 40. And it didn't work. It devastated him. And he had to go to the backside of the desert and take a seat by a well and take care of sheep for 40 years while he got his head back together. What does it mean to be successful? To be successful, I've got to learn this difficult process of not conforming to everything around me. If my whole state of influence is media and sexuality, then I guess that's what's successful. And then we have an article that comes out today, and it's absolutely awesome because it pulls together multiple research projects on one little thing that we don't think we can do, but we can do it. We just have to say no to some other things. It's called the dinner hour.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know that it has to be an hour, but it's called dinner. And if I really believed dinner was important, if I really believed it was really, really, really important and it could influence my child, maybe I'd say no to some other things. Maybe I would get us all to the table and maybe we'd be a little different. Well, thanks to some culling of information by Jody Farrell at the Miami Herald, with some information by the University of Minnesota, Harvard, and the American Pediatric Association, they've come up with this, and it's very interesting, through three different research projects. If you just want your child physically healthy, well, children who sit at a dinner table and eat five or more meals together as a family a week.
Wow.
Five or more. Listen to that young mom saying, wow. Five or more meals together at a table. They have a lower body mass, smaller waistlines, less body fat. In a word, they are physically much more healthy.
There you go.
According to the Journal of Pediatrics. But it goes further than that. And that's followed up by Harvard, by the University of Minnesota, and by Rutgers. It's a great article, but it continues to say teens who eat with their families, again, at least five times a week, didn't even say dinner, eat with their families around a table five times a week, are 42% less likely to drink alcohol, are 59% less likely to smoke cigarettes,
wow,
are 66% less likely to try marijuana. There is also a strong association between these five meals or more a week and academic success, psychological adjustment, and abstinence. Add to that, girls who do this have a far less propensity for eating disorder, for purging, for all these other things. So if I'm a parent and I'm reading that and I've got to decide, okay, do we need to make some adjustment? Are these things really important? Mm-hmm. Well, duh. Yeah, I think these things are really important. But it's not just that they're important. It's what I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more than the eating.
That was going to be my question. Why? Why all these great things but that come out of some just eating together? Because it's obviously not the eating part, even though...
Well, the health is.
You know,
the health is, you know, because you decide that you're going to actually eat vegetables instead of go through the drive-thru and eat a whatever and french fries on your way to soccer, on your way to using all that great energy in there.
Yeah.
So part of it, the physical part is, but the group therapy that takes place at dinner is unbelievable. And the group therapy in our home, anyway, that took place at dinner or took place at breakfast was fantastic. It was just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Better at dinner. And when one of the children was in play practice and the other had soccer practice, and we would grab, and I don't want to do a commercial for Boston Market, but we would grab the kids and we would all sit around a table at, we'd pick them up, sit at Boston Market rather than drive through and feed them there.
Mm-hmm.
And just act like, okay, for this Thursday, this is our home.
Right.
But the talking we did and the downloading about school and what happened at school and the listening and trying not to interrupt and trying not to judge, you said what? And just processing where they finally have a place. You know, they have a place where they don't have to be cool. It's called the dinner table. They can just be kids again.
Yeah. So it's more than just the food. It's the time, the group therapy that happens in that time, and really the building of the relationships within the family.
Oh, yeah.
That I think that's one of the things that helps the kids not get involved in drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes.
Oh, I think without a doubt. I think eating your vegetables does not have anything to do with not doing alcohol.
Right.
I think it's the therapy that takes place there and the listening and that I'm worth this. And the number of times that kids would spend the night at our house of my friends and kind of not know what to do with sitting around a table was incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
And if you'll remember in the movie that's escaping me right now with Sandra Bullock, the true movie, and that football player at Thanksgiving where he never, ever, ever had a Thanksgiving at a table. And he sat at the table and they turned the TV off and all went back to the table.
The blind side.
Yeah, blind side. Mm-hmm. It was such a great statement.
Mm-hmm.
And his need for family pulled them back to the table instead of watching another game.
Yeah.
Our children need to sit at a table as a family and not have to be cool, not have to be stressed. And one of the most stressful times for children anyway is lunch at school. Lunch at school, trying to be cool, getting at the right table, or eating by yourself, or no one wants to eat with me, or I hate my life, or I look like an idiot, or I just spilled in the whole cafeteria, or I dropped my tray and everybody's laughing at me.
I laugh because it happened to me.
It's just incredibly stressful and deciding that, you know what? We're going to do this thing and we're going to make it as sacred as we can and go for it and show them you're worth it. And that really is a statement. You are worth this. And I remember Roby the first time he had a friend spend the night and asked me, Dad, tomorrow morning, are we going to do Devos? I mean, in other words, am I going to read the Bible at the table because he had two friends over? And I said, absolutely, man. That's who we are. And both those boys are pastors today in this town. But watching one of them sleep through the, I'm brutal. I was at his church recently and I was brutal over the fact that he slept through the entire thing. But it was just hilarious and awesome. But that's who we are.
Yeah.
And trying to stimulate conversation and to get them at the table, if you haven't done it, it takes something to stimulate the conversation. And we started with games at the table, just word games. Everybody start with the name of a state starting with A, and we'll keep going until somebody can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be the name of cars and the name of whatever.
So we do
going
animals,
around
yeah.
the table. And I remember we had a foster child at one point before we had children, and she really didn't want to play this game. It was dorky. I don't want to play this game. It's horrible. And we started playing games around the table. One night I had to leave, so I grabbed something quick to go to a board meeting, and she looked out at me and she said, Aren't we going to play the game? And that's as close to a thank you as we ever had.
Yeah.
And the same with the boys at Sheridan House and each of the homes or the girls in their homes. They're not used to doing that. They're not used to sitting at a table. They're used to grabbing something and running to the television. And the television is sort of non-existent for us mm-hmm. in the children's homes. We've got stuff to do and getting them there. And we've learned something with the girls. We've shut down technology from Sunday night until Friday night at Sheridan House. Wow. And my daughter downloaded me a picture. This was the funniest picture I've ever seen of 8 little girls sitting on a couch learning to knit. Now, these are 12 and 13-year-olds with my daughter's little 1-year-old sitting amongst them holding a bottle, and they're all learning to knit and looking, and they're all dying laughing for this picture. Was it easy to get it to happen? No, but she got it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to the dinner table. The research indicates the impact is huge, but not just to the dinner table to eat a good meal. It's a dinner table to feast on a family time.
Mm-hmm. What I think is so hard about that is that us parents, we have to be disciplined to have it daily, or to have it at least routinely, and to make it on time. You know what, Dad, try to really come home on time instead of working late constantly because you need the extra dollars, even though it's hard. I know it's hard
for me. It's very hard, and we have to get very creative. And we've had dinner sometimes at weird times.
Yeah.
Where they got a snack and had a dinner at 8 o'clock. I think it was Ed Meese that worked for Ronald Reagan that came from an extremely lucrative law practice. I believe it was in Houston. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been in California. And when he was out of town, the deal was, if I have to go out of town for these deals, send the plane from the White House. I will be home sleeping in my bed every night so I can have breakfast with my children in the mornings. It was one of those cabinet level leaders because they realized the value of, you are worth this. Mm-hmm. Family is worth this. And creating games to get them to talk. And here's two problems. All of a sudden, you've got that one child that's also into the game when the other child actually wants to talk in the middle of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to creatively help the one child. No, this is better. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you have my temperament. If you've decided you're going to eat dinner every night and you miss one, it's all out the door. We're not doing this anymore because I violated the whole rule that we couldn't get down to the table. Do it when you can. Shoot for 5. Do it when you can. Shoot for 5 and decide. This is really, really important. And the big meal for us was Sunday meal.
Yeah.
It was a long meal, and it was a laborious meal for Rosemary. But we knew we're going to sit there, and we're going to talk, and we're going to listen to what's coming out of their hearts.
Is there, I know it's a technical question, but do you think there's a huge difference between breakfast and dinner?
I don't have any idea. I'm glad you asked that question. We knew we could almost always do breakfast, and we knew we had to get more creative with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And there was even sometimes where Rosemary would bring a picnic for me to meet with them on a little park when I had to be somewhere, and we'd sit at a park. We knew the value of this. I just knew from reading the value of us all sitting together uninterrupted. But it doesn't mean sit at a table with the news on. It doesn't mean sit at the table with the television on. It doesn't mean sitting at the table taking mobile phone calls. It means sitting at the table and the only communicators are us. We are communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the extra thing here. Those are the moments that we can point them towards the most amazing influencer in their lives, the only one who knows the plans he has for them. I don't know the plans God has for them. And so deciding in those moments, I'm going to listen for a moment when I can say, you know, I know God has the answer there. I don't know. And finding ways to bring the Bible to the table, and finding ways to bring the verses to the table, and finding ways to say, you know what, let's stop right here. Tori, I didn't realize you were dealing with something so intense. Let's pray about that. Let's stop right here in the middle of the meal. Let's pray about that right now for you. And then asking at meals later on, what happened? What's the follow-up to that thing we prayed about?
It really does take a lot of personal discipline to become your child's influencer in your life as a parent, the day-to-day, and then also in your relationship with the child.
I won't do it unless I think it's important.
Yeah.
Joshua finally said, as for me and my house, we will It's not we just want to, we will serve the Lord.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes. If you want to hear this program or get more information about Dr. Barnes, his books were shared in House Family Ministries, you can go online to shfm.org. That's shfm.org. And sign up for the daily blog at parentingtoday.org.